The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I had a blast last Sunday. Last Sunday where we just had, you guys preached the message.
Yeah,
you remember that? I had a blast. I really had fun with that. I had so much fun that we're actually going to do it kind of again, November 11th. And the reason I'm telling you is we're going to have a panel up here of multi-generational, four or five people. Some of you I haven't even notified yet. but what I want the body to do is submit some questions. Some thoughts. What is it? What is a multi-generational church? What is my place in a multi-generational church? Who gets honored? Who doesn't get? I don't know. What are the questions in your heart? And I'm following this up a little bit on what Alan Ross preached. Now, if you're like me, when Alan was here, my mind was a lot of different places. We had just gone through some pretty rough things, and my head wasn't gathering it, okay? I'm going to go back in. I'm going to listen to Alan Ross's messages again. But I believe it's on the heart of the Lord to have an honor throughout the generations that's workable, that's doable, that actually thrives. And, it has to be something that we do very, very intentionally. And you don't honor one generation at the exclusion of another generation. That's just not what it is. In fact, the generation of that's in the heart of the Lord is the generation that's alive today, no matter what your age is.
Yeah. There you go.
And but there's some real practical things about running that out as a body, isn't there? I have needs and desires at my age that a 30-year-old probably can't relate to. And while I can relate to the 30-year-old, culture has changed enough that I know that I need to hear a 30-year-old in what they're going through and what they're experiencing and to be able to bring some wisdom into the 30-year-old. There's just a lot of things, a lot of questions that I think would be good for us to talk about. So if you have a question about something concerning the multi-generational church, write them down, jot them down, get them to me, put them in the offering basket next week. If we get really techie, we'll let you even text questions on the fly so we can just kind of do it while we go. Maybe we'll do Vanna Weigel running around with a microphone again and we'll see what it goes. But there's something that's in the heart of the Father. There's just something that is in the heart of the Father to do things differently, not for the sake of doing things differently. I'm not a person that does something. I'll never vote for somebody because of the color of their skin, whether they're white, red, black, or purple. I won't vote for somebody because of the color of the skin. I won't vote for somebody because of their gender. Whether they're male or female is irrelevant to me. I'll vote for somebody that I can believe in. And, I don't want to change just because, change, we got to keep mixing things up and doing things differently. To be honest with you, I believe that we are in a season where we are going to be seeing some transformational thinking among us and some transformational, for the lack of a better term, ministries springing up out of the body of Christ, some ways of thinking better. But here's what I really believe has happened. I believe that there's a faith. I don't know if you feel it or not, but even with, I was with somebody this week, and we said we're in the best of times, we're in the worst of times. Even through the struggles and the pressures that we're feeling, that we're sensing, those things are meant to draw us closer to God. How many know that those are the times I really draw close to God? I wish when things were just going hunky-dory that I would be just as passionate. And really, I'm trying to, not trying to be like I'm working to be. I'm just conscious that, Bill Johnson says this. He says, prosperity is harder to handle than poverty. And there's a truth to that. You saw it in the nation of Israel, that when things are going bad, they're on their faces before God. But when things were going really good, it was, okay, we'll take it from here, God. And, you know, I think it's something in human nature that just does that. But for me, and for my house, for if you're included in this, I want us to know that in the good times, He is just as rich and just as faithful and just as passionate and just as desirous for you. See, Paul says, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. For Paul, it wasn't a matter whether he was abounding or being abased, whether he had little or he had much. That meant nothing to him. For him, there was a level playing field called the pursuit of God, the love of God. And that was what he was tapping into. And that's why he could be in prison and be just as joyful as when he was maybe leading somebody who was in Caesar's palace to the Lord and having influence in governments, standing before King Agrippa, before the governor Festus. And see, there's something that God wants to work in his people, I believe, in this day, in this hour. And I believe it's really contained in this whole thing of delighting in the Lord. I want to just read a scripture, and then we're going to play that song. Do not fret because of evildoers, Psalm 37. Nor be envious of workers of iniquity. We don't have to worry about that stuff, guys. We don't have to worry about it. We do not have to worry about the workers of iniquity. Those that seem to have such a loud voice and control in our nation. Don't fret. They will soon be cut down like the grass. They'll wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't that sound like a good alternative to complaining about the bad guys? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you'll look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek will inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What's your portion? What's your portion as a believer? What's your inheritance as a believer? What's your duty as a believer? I submit to you, it's to delight in Jesus and just to follow him. That there is a dance that's going on. There is a dance that's going on. And he's leading in the dance, if we'll pay attention. He's leading in every detail of your life, if we'll pay attention. But this is the privilege, and this is a promise, and this is the hope, and this is the glory of God that's on his people in this season. How many are ready for that? How many are ready to see a church delighting in God no matter what? The sour-faced, look like you just sucked a lemon Christianity has got to cease. Jesus was anointed with joy above all his fellows, above everybody else. Jesus said, out of my way, I've got the most joy of y'all.